asked me if I would just go ahead and take the lead in this. I went and pulled something else out from a book that we had and pulled a few things together, and so we'll be looking at that. As an introduction to that, I'm going to read some verses from Hebrews 5, verses 21 to 33. These are familiar verses, but just notice what it says here. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Savior. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the word, so as to present the church to himself in splendor without a spot or wrinkle or anything of the kind, yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they do their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own body, but he nourishes and tenderly cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I am applying it to Christ and the church. Each of you, however, should love his wife as himself, and a wife should respect her husband. Now, there's a lot in that passage, but I just want to put that there as a background just to illustrate something of this commitment between husband and wife. Now, he's comparing it to Christ and the church, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that, but Paul is assuming that the norm is that husband and wife are committed to each other, and then that works itself out in many different ways in our lives. And so what we're going to look at this morning is just the whole thing of marriage commitment. This is kind of a general underlying thing, and I felt this could be helpful to us. What is the marriage commitment? And is it a contract? I'll do my share if you do yours. Okay, as long as you comply, I will comply. Is it just conditional? You know, if we're compatible, if we're not, then let's move on. Is it an outdated idea? Some hang up from the past. You know, marriage, yeah, that's kind of, that's old-fashioned stuff. What are we really talking about with the marriage commitment? Now, the Bible, of course, talks about a covenant. A covenant is something more than just a legal contract. This is a relational thing that binds people together, a vow made before God and witnesses, binding the parties together, regardless of the circumstances. Now, a covenant can be broken because, you know, in the Old Testament, God had a covenant with his people. The people broke the covenant. That doesn't mean the covenant no longer is in existence. It just means that one of the parties failed to keep the covenant, failed to keep the vow that they had made. So the covenant is still in place. So that is the image set up for marriage, the idea of a covenant, which is meant to establish a relationship between two parties. And this is for the benefit of both. It involves the commitment of both to this covenant. And so that's what we're looking at here. Did you all get that, what she said? Yeah. Okay. That's a very good point, yes. Not only before God, but also God is a part of this covenant. So it's not just what you're doing to your spouse. It's You know, what are you doing to God when you don't keep this covenant? Okay? If there are any comments, just put your hand up as we go along here. Yes, Menno. God. So. Okay. So it's involving the broader community in this as well.
I think that's true, and actually I had that thought run through my head too, that, you know, you don't know how sometimes your actions affect others and can shake their foundation of their beliefs sometimes. And it's something we have to, I think, be open to how we respond sometimes. It doesn't just affect us and those close to us.
In other cultures, it is maybe more pronounced to be a covenant between families because of the bride prices that are exchanged, or and families can actually keep marriages from breaking up by, or they can take wealth back from either side of the family if a marriage breaks up. So there, it is not just. Just a covenant between two people.
Yeah, and in some of these more traditional cultures, of course, you do have the bride price, which is not necessarily just buying the bride. It's really, and it's understood as a commitment, part of the contract between two families, and can be very effective. So if your father doesn't have enough cows, or you don't have enough cows to pay the family, you'll go to your uncles, and you'll go to other people. And now all of these people all at once have an investment in your marriage. So if you start having problems, Uncle So-and-so is going to come around and say, hey, wait a minute, I've got my cows in this. You've got to straighten this out between yourselves. And it can be very effective. Or if it doesn't work out, somebody will come and say, hey, I want my cows back. And so all at once you have the family involved in this, and it sounds a little strange to us, but it's just an example of how this is a broader community thing. So we've gotten away from that, especially here in our culture, I think, where it's two people who are doing their thing, and even the parents sometimes aren't that much involved, you know, so people can elope, and it's just the two of them. Well, if it's just up to the two of them, it's not much wonder sometimes that things don't work out. We just need each other. Okay. Next question is, what does actually erode that? Could you go to the next slide? It's up there already. Okay, good. Okay, here are some things, and you may have some things that you've observed that are helpful, that other examples of this. Distraction by life duties. We just get busy. We got to make ends meet. We got to do this, got to do that. And our marriages sometimes take a beating. We take the commitment lightly, not taking it seriously. What we've actually done. Go back and think about your wedding day and what that meant to you at that time. Try to get a hold of that again. And that can be a very meaningful thing to do. You took it very seriously then, I think. I think all of you, I'm guessing, you know, I wasn't there, but I know I did. You know, this is something that I took seriously. This was going to be for life. I wasn't even thinking. I mean, the word divorce wasn't even in my vocabulary at that time because I took it seriously.
And still isn't.
And still isn't. Yeah, what does that mean? What is? How do you spell it? Okay.
Hopefully.
Influences from society and popular culture. What are the understandings of marriage that are out there? You know, lack of spiritual depth. And again, this relates to what Diane said about God being a party in this covenant. There's something about spiritual commitment that also is reflected in our commitment to our spouse. The Ephesians passage refers to that, how that marriage is an example of Christ in the church. And so Paul is kind of dealing with both there. He says, you know, he goes through all this stuff of how you should relate to your spouse, and then he says, but really I'm talking about Christ in the church. But at the same time, don't forget your responsibility to your spouse. You know, so our spirituality has an impact on that. Our own pride and selfishness, looking out for ourself, can be a factor. expecting perfection. Now, on your wedding day, your spouse was probably close to perfection in your mind. And then a couple months later, something happens and you see that he or she is not perfect, and that can be a pretty big blow. Hey, we're human. That's okay.
I was actually thinking about this morning, and I didn't know what we were going to be talking about until I got here. But I think the biggest one for Bob and I personally is the distractions by life's duties. And that is one of those things that you have got to just make a commitment that once, you know, whatever, like for Bob and I, we do once a month because it's just impossible to do it once a week. That would be ideal. But because of his traveling and church responsibilities and all that, it just, once a week just doesn't work for us. But we take once a month where we just, even if it is like a truck ride to go somewhere else, we just say we have got to have time alone together to connect again. And we try not to talk about, house business, church stuff. We try to talk about, you know, what have you been, you know, what has affected you this month the most, or what has been a disappointment to you, or what is something that you're looking forward to, or we just try to tap into one another. And boy, I feel it if I don't get that once a month, and there's times we don't. But I think that is one of those things that you've just got to make a commitment to. Doesn't have to be something that costs money. Just to get away from the things that, and a lot of times it's good things. You know, your kids are wonderful; they're a blessing. But yet sometimes that just you've got to get away from your children and the things that keep you guys from connecting.
Failure to connect at that deeper level that Diane's talking about. It's not just a matter of talking about duties and responsibilities and what's going on, but kind of at a feeling level, really try to get inside the other person and figure out what's going on and nurture that kind of relationship. This goes along with the next slide. What builds the marriage commitment?
Got it?
Yep. We have an efficient computer operator back there this morning. He's right. He's right in tune with me. Okay. Some of these are parallels to what we just went through. Recall what brought you together. You know, what attracted you to that person in the first place? There must have been something. I mean, obviously. Recall what brought you together. Just simply take your act of commitment seriously. Remember, you're committed. You made this commitment. Take it seriously. Seek supportive environment and influences. Who do we relate to? Church. You know, I would hope our church relationships are the kind of thing that strengthen our commitment to marriage.
I think sometimes just committing with another couple too, or to work at relationship helps to be supportive to your own relationship. Sometimes just small support groups. Sometimes just our regular prayer groups or something can be supportive kinds of things. But you have to seek those groups out. You can't just expect that's going to happen automatically.
You're right.
And you also have to be prepared that when you do those things, you can expect that they can be sabotaged. And you need to move through that. Don't let anything sabotage those times. And even if that's like, you know, he or she did something to really tick you off, you work through that mentally and go on and have that time, because there's to me, it just amazes me how many times we try to do something like that, and something will come up to try to interfere with it. And you've just got to make it a priority.
Right. The thing of being intentional about it. This won't just happen. Just you don't just wait for the right time. To be intentional about it. And sometimes you do have to change it, but you come back to it again. And when we get through this list, I want to just ask if any of you have any comments or reflections on what you have found erodes your relationship or your commitment, and what you found builds it up. Develop maturity and spiritual depth. And maturity, I mean just like personal and emotional maturity. Just be an adult. It's easy to be to respond to things like an adolescent, or you know, you still try to be a teenager. We relate to each other sometimes as kids. Let's learn to be mature and develop spiritual depth. Practice humility and acts of service to each other, as well as having an attitude of service to the world around us. Accept imperfections. Celebrate differences. Differences should not be seen as a threat. They should be seen as something that strengthen us. And so let's recognize the benefits of that. Go ahead.
I just happen to think how it is really difficult to share with somebody else about difficulties you might be having in your marriage. But sharing unloads and also provides, sharing with another couple, just one couple, sort of helps to have a third ear to what's going on. And you'd be surprised how important just having another perspective when you're talking about difficulties, or when you're sharing joys, just having that third perspective or second perspective between, other than just the two of you, can add to the insight that you can get. It's just a difficult thing to do, but it is very important.
And be wise about the person you choose to do that with. I'll use me for an example. When Bob and I were first married, I did not talk to my sisters or my mom about things that were driving me crazy with Bob, because I knew they would agree that I was right, you know? And so I had a close friend that I talked to, and there was many times that Patty would look at me and go, you're being really selfish. And I'd go, okay, that's what I needed to hear, you know? And so there's times you have to be careful. You don't go to people that you know are going to say what you want to hear.
Maybe just a comment on that too. If another couple comes to share with you, that can also happen. Just recognize the value, importance of confidentiality. That you don't go talking to all your friends about what she's having, the problems they're having. You know, that's not appropriate either. We work with respect. It's not a matter of secrecy, it's a matter of just respecting the other person. And if something's shared with you in confidence, then it's a reason for you to pray for them, to keep in touch with them, how's it going. But it's not something you go talk about with everybody else. I just want to throw that in.
And if that confidence isn't kept, that's what, that just deters other couples. You know, that it defeats the point of sharing confidentially with another. And if that happens, you're just eroding all the more the confidence of anyone coming to you.
Does anybody have any comments about what you've found is helpful to keep your commitment strong, or what challenges you've had to deal with? Anything you can say that's appropriate in this setting here? I'd like to just give you a chance for that.
I just know that while we were in Africa, at least, and Joe was gone an awful lot on seminars and that kind of thing, that one of the things that we just determined to do is when he was home, to at least sit down and have a cup of tea together whenever he was home. You know, take time in the afternoon when the kids were running around doing other things to sit down and talk, and take that time and just making space of having tea together in the afternoon, which was a common practice for in the culture, just really was that simple act was something that kept us together during that time when he was gone a lot.
It's a matter of communication, keeping the communication open. Well, let's go on to slide number. Oh, just a minute.
I think for women, as a newlywed, I didn't realize how important it was to have other women that I was able to share with. And it needs to be confidential, and it needs to not be something we talk about all the time with everyone, but you need those one or two people that can really help you to mature in your thinking and in your expectations of your husband, to be able to accept imperfections in each other, and to be able to celebrate differences. And when you're the person mentoring, it's important to be able to say hard things and know when to say them and how to say them so that they're well received.
Very good point. And also, you mentioned a newlywed, and that should be somebody who's not also, if you're seeking counsel, don't seek necessary counsel from somebody who is also a newlywed. Go to somebody who's been married a good amount of time.
I'd be interested in hearing from the men. What are the challenges of the men? Any comments on that? Can everybody hear okay without the microphone?
For me, it was kind of lack of understanding or knowledge. And this is not a black mark on the Amish, but I came up through the Amish where the man is kind of the responsible and take charge and boss and all that kind of stuff, you know, and that's kind of my heritage. And it's as I've gained knowledge, an understanding is when I knew I needed to change. And it was a hard thing to do because, you know, your whole belief system had to change. You know. But that really made a difference, I tell you. So I think teaching and understanding, and I like what I'm seeing with premarital counseling and that type of thing, which is going on now, which I hardly heard of back when I got married, you know.
Yeah, read books, talk to people, learn all you can. I mean, this is kind of a science, this thing of relationships.
I just basically wanted to agree or tap another nail into the practice humility and acts of service. That has really been huge for Jay and I. Not something that comes naturally to either one of us, actually. I know, shocker. But just especially lately, one of the recalling what brought us together was I was so impressed with his work ethic and everything. And now that I have two kids with a third one on the way, I'm so glad he has work, but I really wish he was home more. And just lately, even over the past month or whatever, if he's been home for even 5 minutes and he notices that I'm getting ready to go off the deep end, he will say, okay, guys, I have to go across the street to check on something. Let's go. And he gets the kids' shoes on, and he takes them, and they can be gone for like 2 or 3 hours. And, man, even if it's just 10 minutes, you know, it's such a huge relief to me, and I'm renewed through that, and it gives me just such a sense of love and appreciation for him that then I want to reciprocate, and so then I help him with tax stuff that he's doing, you know, whether it's something simple like addressing envelopes or just, you know, I just have such an appreciation that I want to give back. And so the reciprocal humility and acts of service has been huge for us lately.
And the only way you can really understand those changing feelings is to communicate with each other. What are my needs right now? What would be helpful? And you have to do that by talking to each other at some point in your day.
But what you're pointing at is that It's hard to maintain a commitment and good relationships when you're frazzled emotionally. And by him taking the kids, that's an act of service to you. But finding things to keep ourselves kind of on an even keel, because otherwise we can't really enter into it. Let's have the next slide up there. I put this in just, I don't necessarily need to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to just point this out as well. Sometimes it may be necessary to seek professional help, either counseling or medication. Don't be afraid of that. If you have high blood pressure, what do? You go see the doctor and get a prescription. If you have heart trouble, you get treatment for it. If there are sometimes medical conditions that result in mental health issues, depression, even things like bipolar or whatever it is, anxiety. Sometimes these can be caused by chemical imbalances, and a pill can be very helpful in that. So mental illness, these are special situations. Mental illness, sometimes there are addictions that can devastate a relationship, drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, there's all kinds of addictions. Emotional wounds due to childhood experiences, neglect, abuse, and so on, that a person experienced maybe in childhood or growing up, that impact how the person responds to their spouse and relates to their spouse. Sometimes these need professional help. So if that's the case, don't apologize for going and getting help. If you don't know where to do it, talk to somebody and say, hey, this is my, I need some help. Who can I talk to? It is when people refuse to seek help that they place their marriage at risk, quote out of a book there. So I don't have any comments on that, but yes.
You think that things like that will never ever hit you as a couple and will come into your marriage. And I guess I would encourage especially younger couples and premarital counseling to realize that these things may well come into your marriage and to be prepared ahead of time and to discuss. I mean, Richard and I used to talk about it a lot. What are we going to do, when we run into a difficult time in our marriage or if something happens? And we had made up our mind beforehand, if it ever did, we were not beyond going for help, whether it be mental, marital conflict, or whatever. And when those times do come up in your marriage, you go back to that time and say, we made this decision, and now we're going to use it. And it is very advantageous for you to use the tools that are out there for you, be it marital conflict, mental illness, addictions, or whatever, because they're out there today, and it doesn't. You don't have to go far to find them.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Any other comments on any of that? What have you done to keep your commitment strong? This hasn't touched on a lot of real practical kinds of things. Anybody want to share something? What have you found that erodes your commitment? Let's go to the last slide. I have one more slide here, which is actually the next one. Yeah, let's. These are some quotes from a book. Let's go to the next one, yeah. Thank you. Let me just read down through these. These are quotes from this book, Monday Marriage, that I pulled these thoughts from. Covenant serves as our anchor in marriage because it keeps us connected to God and each other. Covenant helps us avoid impulsive, selfish choices. In a spirit of humility and service, we submit to God, our faith community, and ultimately to each other. We seek maturity to strengthen our covenant. We work at understanding our differences and are strengthened by them. Most of all, we enjoy marriage as a sacred bond that can only take place within a covenant relationship. It's this relationship and this commitment that really provides the unity that we're looking for. When God created Adam, he wasn't around very long. He said, hey, this guy shouldn't be by himself. He needs somebody else. And I think God was just referring to the fact that we need each other. Nobody's an island, somebody, one poet said. We need each other. And this is probably one of the most intimate in terms of life connecting with life. And you also find that these kinds of relationships, these factors that are so important to our lives, also can be the most destructive to our lives. When this breaks down, it tears at the deepest part of us. That's another reason why it's so important to keep this strong, to build each other up. So what other comments do you have, or questions, or any kind of responses?
Maybe these people don't have any problems with commitment.
Praying together. Developing a spiritual, the spirituality, but doing it jointly. It's one thing to have two people developing their own spirituality, maintaining it. But you need that too. Yeah. One of the keys to this is and one of these slides mentioned about being a mature person, develop maturity in spirituality. It takes each one working at their own life, be the kind of person God wants them to be, so that then you can enter into this relationship. Sure, the relationship gives us a lot, but it's really more what we bring to the relationship than what we give to the relationship, or what we get from the relationship. So,
and I think that's often the key, is thinking about what am I bringing to the relationship, rather than always insisting and thinking about what am I getting from this, or not getting from this. Thinking about what I can do to make this relationship work, make this relationship a good relationship, is a better attitude than always looking at what am I getting out of this.
I think we'll wrap this up here, to close, we're gonna close with prayer. So Gloria's gonna lead us.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your commitment to us as individuals. Thank you for giving us a basis to work with in our relationships with each other and with our spouses. We ask that you might, in this time, help us to recommit ourselves to our marriage relationships, and to you. We ask that you might strengthen our marriages, that you might open us up to truly committing ourselves again to what you want to do in our marriages. And we just ask that you might help us to be sensitive and understanding. Help us to destroy the thoughts that would take away or erode from our marriages. And Father, just help us to be willing to seek help when we need help, to be open and transparent with each other, but also open and transparent with other couples as we try to work at the things that need to be worked at. We ask your blessing upon each one of us now and upon what we commit ourselves to do in our marriages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.